Welcome to Giving an Ass, a show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. I am your host, A.C. Felder, and today the topic is a Christian perspective of ghosts, psychics, and mediums. We are living at a time where there is more interest in the supernatural and the paranormal than ever before. New shows are popping up regularly that deal with psychics, medium, and ghosts. I just want to name a few of them. We have the Ghost Hunters International, Ghost Adventurers, Ghost Whisperers, Ghostly Encounters, My Ghost Story, Celebrity Ghost Stories, Fact or Fake, Paranormal Files, Paranormal Activity, Paranormal Cops, Paranormal State, Paranormal Witness, Psychic Investigators, and even Psychic Kids. The movies are no different. Matter of fact, the number one grossing movie from 2011 was Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. It grossed over $380 million. But these weren't the only movies of 2011. We also had Paranormal Activity 1, 2, and 3. I could spend an entire time here just talking about the different movies and the different shows, but I think you get the point. But something else is going on. Something must be going on because evidently they are scratching an itch. They are scratching an itch. People are becoming more and more involved, more and more drawn to it. And we need to find out why. Some of the reasons that people give are very varied. Some just want to do away with traditional religion. They want something that they consider more sexy, more non-traditional. We have psychics such as James Von Prague and Sylvia Brown, who both came to believe in an involvement in the paranormal because they rejected the idea of a loving God sending people to hell. Some get involved because of the sense of power that they seem to get. Others just want to be able to get in on some secret knowledge about the future. You have some who are just curious, and you have some who just want to be able to keep in touch with their loved ones who they just can't seem to let go. But regardless of the reasons, millions of people are turning to the supernatural for the answer to the questions of life. What could be wrong with this? Is this wrong? Does God have a problem with this? And if he does, why should he? Well, I answer those questions in this message that I call Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing. We will look at what God has to say, and we would look at it in Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 13. And let me give you a little bit of background about what's happening here. This book is written by Moses, and it was written right before the children of Israel going into the promised land. It's basically written in the form of a treaty of those days where God is saying, it's like a contract. God is saying, you do these things, and I'll do these things. You do these things, and I'll do these things. So let me start reading. God is saying, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritualist or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these things, that the Lord your God will drive out the nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. So, from this passage, we see that God is talking directly to the nation of Israel. He's telling them things that he wants them to do, things that he does not want them to do. He's telling them things that he wants them to stay away from. We can apply the exact same things to today, because we are dealing with the exact same issues that the nation of Israel were dealing with. We are in a nation as well that are dealing with or have all these type of things that were mentioned that they were going into the land of. But God is telling them, God is saying that you are not to do these things. That if you are to be my children, if you are to be my nation, that you need to stay away from these things. Matter of fact, God is so adamant about it that he's saying that he's actually going to remove the people who are there because of these things. That is how much that he does not like these things. So he's outlining a number of things that he's telling them to do, a number of things that he is telling them to reject in order to honor him. The first thing, there's a lot of things he's talking about here, and I can't talk about all of them because I don't have time, but I want to deal with the things that I think are probably the most important to us today. And the first one I want to deal with is divination. We are to honor God by rejecting divination. Divination is an attempt to foresee or foretell future events using some secret or hidden knowledge such as fortune telling, palm reading, crystal balls, tarot cards, or astrology. Astrology itself is a form of divination, using the stars and the moon to be able to determine your course for your future or your present or what type of decisions you should make or what you should do. Can you start to see a reason why God might have an issue with this when you're consulting the moon and the stars on what you should do instead of consulting God Almighty? But sometimes it's really interesting because they are so popular. We see astrology is so popular. What is it about it? I mean, is it really true? Are people really getting the answers? Is it really all this cracked up to be? Well, in one sense, it's really not. Because when you look at, for instance, your horoscope, they are so vague that they can mean anything to anybody. Let me give you an example. This is my horoscope from today, from the Charlotte Observer. It says, you want to learn today and have ambitious toward more money, recognition and prestige. Your powers of concentration are extraordinary today, and you are capable of working very hard. The afternoon brings a sense of unity with the ones you love. Wow. Now, this could apply to not just me, but anybody in this room. And it could apply to us not today, just today, but we can apply to us for any day. There's nothing specific here, so vague, it could mean anything to anyone. Someone can look at that at the end of the day and find something in there if they really want to find something in there. But there's nothing specific in here, so it's so vague it doesn't mean anything to anyone. However, there are astrologers who can tell you things, and some of these things might actually be true. I actually have a guest on my show who comes on, actually my radio show. She's never been on this show, on a TV show. Her name is Marcia Montenegro, and she was actually the former president of the Astrological Society. Before she became a believer, she was really into astrology. And like I said, she was so in charge of, or so into astrology, she was actually head of the association where they were actually test astrology. You actually had to pass a test to become licensed to be an astrologer. And she was actually on the head of that. She actually wrote a book called Spellbound, The Paranormal Seduction of Today's Kids. And in this book, she suggests that fallen angels are feeding the astrologers some information about people's past and present lives. So, we know that we are to reject those who deal with divination. But the second thing that God mentions here is that he wants us to also reject those who cast spells or who is a medium or who is a spiritualist. And today we refer to those people as psychics. I'm going to define psychic as someone who claims to be sensitive to phenomena beyond the five senses. You heard of the sixth sense. So this goes beyond sight, touch, feeling. These are people who have extrasensory perception. They can see things or feel things or in touch with things that are beyond what we just see in a normal physical world. And sometimes we also see that these people can be accurate, or are they accurate? We hear about people such as, am I telling my age, but any of you have ever heard of Jean Dixon? Jean Dixon was a famous psychic who would predict all kinds of things, and you hear about these psychics who predict all these things. We even had Nancy Reagan, who actually had people come to the White House and do all this type of stuff. But are they really that accurate? Well, not really. They're really not that accurate. The reason they're not that accurate, and the reason we think that they're accurate, is because we just hear about the predictions that they make that are successful. we don't hear about the ones that they do that are a failure, and they have a lot of failures. If I throw 1,000 predictions out there, I'm bound to get a couple of them right. And the saying said, how the saying go? You know, even a blind squirrel will find a nut every now and then. Well, even a broken clock is right twice a day. In fact, the People's Almanac in 1976 did a study of the predictions of 25 of the top psychics. The results of the total 72 predictions, 92% were wrong. 92% were wrong. Now, when you hear about the ones that they made, you know, that's fine. But there were 1,000 that they made that didn't come true. And there's some of them that they made, you know, some of them that they make are so vague, they're like the horoscope. Let me give you an example. Sylvia Brown. If any of y'all ever heard of Sylvia Brown? She comes on, like, I think she's been on Oprah, Montel. She's been on all these talk shows. She's supposed to be one of the world's most famous psychics. I found her predictions for 2010. These are her predictions. Hold on to your seat. People who are ready, willing, and able to work cannot find decent jobs. There's more. Children are not properly fed, clothed, educated, protected, or given adequate medical care. Our elderly are not cared for properly, either financially or medically. This could be written today, 1,000 years from now. I mean, this has always been the case. Now, there is the next prediction I'm going to make is one that you can actually say is given within a time frame, so we can actually test it. Her next prediction, she says, quote, I predict we can truly say goodbye to the Common Cold in 2009 or 2010. She's supposed to be the number one psychic. And I don't watch the news every day, but as far as I know, the Common Cold is still around. But there are times when these psychics do get it right. There are times when psychics seem to really, really hit it on the head. Well, what are going on those times? What are going on when you hear about the psychics who help police officers, who find dead bodies, or who track down killers? And what about these psychics who are supposed to, you know, actually supposed to give really, really good advice? Well, some people aren't going to like what I have to say, but I believe also this is a result of demonic activity. I'm going to turn to a scripture, Acts 16:16-18. And we have here the scripture of the fortune teller. Let me read it. This is Paul. This is one of Paul's journeys. It says that it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, these men are the bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. She continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned to her and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And at that moment, the Spirit came out. And notice, after that, she was no longer able to do any fortune telling. And notice that Paul said that it was a spirit of divination. She actually had a spirit that was allowing her to do these fortune tellers. It wasn't her of her own self. It was the spirit that was in her. I know I did a show on UFOs one time, and I had people go to the YouTube, and they say that, you know, they just attack me. They say anything that goes against Christianity, this guy says is demonic. Well, yeah, because anything that goes against Christianity is demonic. So I make no apologies for that. But there's a reason why these spirits, or why these people can have inside knowledge, and it's because the demons have inside knowledge. I mean, really, really think about it. Satan and his demons are much wiser than we are. They're smarter than we are. They've been around from the beginning of mankind. They know how people are. We have not changed, y'all. We are the same people we were when Adam and Eve were in the garden. There's nothing new going on with us. He can look at us. He knows what we want. He knows how we like it. He can predict certain things about us, and he can pass that information on. It's really not that difficult. But not only that, demons have access to the personal lives of every person. I mean, there are demons probably maybe about 4 or 5 demons in here who are just keeping an eye on Christians or keeping an eye on non-believers who can keep track of what's going on with you and keep track of things in your life. And they know things about you. They know about your parents. They know about your marital relationship. They know all about what's going on. So they have inside knowledge that they could pass on to these psychics. And not only that, we can see that Satan can actually influence people in certain positions that do certain things. For instance, he's in the boardrooms on Bank of America, wherever. He knows who's sleeping with who. He knows what's going on behind closed doors in major countries because he's probably one of the ones who are influencing people to make certain decisions. So in order for him to be able to give some people some inside information, and sometimes it's right, is really not that shocking if you really think about it. When I was in the Philippines, before I was born again, I was sitting in a bar one time, having a drink. It was an open-air bar, and there was this guy walking around. He had this turban on, and he had these pictures, and he was going around trying to read people's future or fortune, and he walked up to me and he said, you know, can I read your fortune? And he showed me pictures when he was on some mountain in the Himalayas with some guru guy and doing one of these things like that. And I said, nah, that's all right. And he took my hand and he said, your mother name is Lily and your father name is Ben. And my mother name is Lily and my father's name is Ben. And I told him to sit down. And he told me some stuff, y'all. He told me some stuff that was true. He told me some stuff that he wasn't guessing on. So he knew exactly what he was talking about. But when I look back on my life, I probably was sitting next to about 3 or 4 demons at the time. So it was no real big stretch for him to just say, you know, hey, demon number 2, what's his mother and father name? Also, if we look at the message that they're giving, we see that the message that they are giving or that the theology that they teach are actually consistent with doctrine of demons. The doctrine of demons Paul talks about in 1 Timothy 4:1-3. Dr. Ron Rhodes in his book, and I've had him on my show as well, The Truth Behind Ghosts, Mediums, and Psychic Phenomena, he actually chronicles their theology, and he says, these are some of the things that they teach. This is what these people teach and they believe. The Bible should not be interpreted literally, but spiritually to discover its hidden meaning. So don't commit adultery may not really mean that. There's some hidden meaning under that you got to really get to. God, according to psychic Sylvia Brown, is both father and mother. And other psychics teach that God is actually an impersonal force. He's not a person at all. He's just a force like electricity. Jesus is not God. Man is perfect in nature, and sin does not exist. So when we hear these demons or these psychics telling you what they believe, and these things that they believe are consistent with the doctrine of demons, it makes sense that they're getting their theology from the doctrine of demons because it's actually from demons. So now the third spiritual counterfeit that I want to deal with here that God commands us and the nation of Israel to stay away from, and that's consulting with the dead. And we're talking about ghosts. We have to honor God by rejecting contact with the dead. Let me define a ghost. A ghost is a non-material manifestation of a dead person. And according to psychic Sylvia Brown, at death, some people refuse to accept death for various reasons, such as they do not wish to progress. Now I have a hard time with some of these things, y'all. They are often attached to a living person or place. And that makes no sense to me. Like, I really like my house so much that when I die, I'm going to stay here. I mean, I just stay here with the people who live here. I ain't got to pay rent. According to James Von Praagh, they might hang around or return from the dead because they died a violent death in which they may not be fully aware that they're dead. Did y'all remember the movie? Was it The Sixth Sense? Where the guy didn't realize he was dead? So it's sort of like that. People don't realize. I don't know how you don't realize you're not dead. I mean, I would think if I went up to my wife about 3 or 4 times and she ignored me and I went to touch her, my hand went through her, I would sort of get the hint. I wouldn't have to take 10 years to figure this out. They have unfinished business. What kind of unfinished business does a dead person need to finish? I have no idea. They're trying to avoid going to hell or purgatory. Or those are for the ones who believe in hell or purgatory. So you're saying that you can die and not go to hell? Just sit around and wait in your house and just spend eternity there? Sound like a good deal to me. Why bother with hell? Now, how do we explain evidence for ghosts? Because I watch these shows and we see things going on where chairs are moving and we see, you know, people are doing strange things and we're seeing evidence that things are happening. So what's happening in those instances? Because things are happening. I know I'm going to sound like a broken record here, y'all. But I believe that it also goes back to demonic activity because demons can affect our environment. We know that from Job 1 and 2. And we also know that he is the great deceiver. So it's not really difficult for him. And I can imagine he has a whole hierarchy of demons. And he has people in charge of certain illusions. You know, I think he has one who's in charge of the Mormon cult. He has one who's in charge of ghosts. He has one who's in charge of UFOs. And they all get together and they decide how they're going to go about their plan and they carry it out. The last thing I want to mention here is that once we've done all these things, God makes it clear to us that he wants us to be blameless in his sight. That is why we are supposed to completely separate ourselves from these spiritual counterfeits because they negatively affect our relationship with God. Dishonoring God separates us from him. You know, sometimes God withholds knowledge for our own good. Sometimes God does not want us to know stuff because we may not be able to handle it at that point. God is not some person who's just sitting here saying, I don't want you to know because I'm just mean like that. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that if we knew, we wouldn't go through. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that we go through that make us stronger. There are certain things that we go through that not only make us stronger, but it allows us to help other people who are struggling as well. It's not because God doesn't want us to know. God always has our best interests at heart. We just may not be able to take it at that time. And we don't understand that God gives us grace in order to be able to go through some of these changes and these challenges. So God is always, always, always have our best interests at heart. But when I try to think of a way to illustrate this. I was thinking of one, and I came up with one. This one works for me. It may not work for you, but this one works for me. And I imagine my daughter came to me, and my daughter said to me, she said, Dad, me and Johnny, we're getting married. And let's just say I like Johnny, and they did everything the right way, and I'm really happy for it. And I said, Oh, I'm so happy. You know, I'm excited for you. You know, you're getting married, you know, grandchildren, and I'm ecstatic. And she walks away, and then before she leaves the room, she turns back around. She says, oh, and by the way, Dad, there's this new guy at work. He's been there about a month. He seems like a really nice guy. So I want him to walk me down the aisle and give me away. That would upset me. And why would that upset me? That would upset me because, you see, I am her father. You see, I am the one who put clothes on her back. I put a roof over her head. I put food in her stomach. I am the one who taught her how to ride a bike. I am the one who taught her right from wrong. I am the one who got up in the morning with her and read the Bible together. I am the one who taught her even how to drive a car. I am the one who taught her the birds from the bees. I am the one who did all these things with her. I am the one who goes to the throne of God every day and prays for her. That's what I'm doing. That's my job. I'm her father. And you go to someone who you don't even know and give him what rightfully belongs to me? How dare you? But isn't this exactly what the children of Israel did to God? God is saying to them, I am the God who brought you out of Egypt. I am the God who performed miracles for you. I am the God who rained down manna from heaven so that you may eat. I am the God who brought forth water out of a rock so that you may drink. I am the God who provided for all of your needs. And you're going to go to another God? Isn't this what we do when we go and we see a psychic or when we read the horoscopes, we get involved in this? Isn't this exactly what we're doing? Because God is saying the same thing to us. God is saying, I am the one who have given you the roof over your head. I am the one who have given you the means to earn a living. I am the one who protected you and provided for you. I am your God, and you're going to see someone else. When I put it in that way, it becomes clear to me. You see, Satan mixes lies with truth. He wants to pull us away from our true and our intimate relationship with God. He wants to pull us away using a counterfeit. But we have the best God in the universe, the only God in the universe. So we have a God who has given us truly everything. He has even given us his only begotten Son so that we may live forever with him. If you do not know this God, I encourage you to. And if you do know this God, but you have strayed, if you have been involved in some of these things that you shouldn't have, I encourage you to repent. I urge you to turn back fully and wholeheartedly to God, to the true God, because there ain't nothing like the real thing. That's all the time we have for this episode of Giving an Answer. Be sure to join me again next time. And until then, goodbye and God bless.
You can find out more about Giving an Answer, as well as listen to other episodes, by visiting us online at www.givinganswer.org. Yeah.